Despite 30 years of research, there is no HIV vaccine, and the virus's seemingly infinite mutability gave little hope for this tactic. But as Michelle Newsom-Swag writes in a review this week, antibodies isolated from HIV patients may serve as a good starting point for a new immunological approach to battling HIV.
There are several features that make HIV difficult for the immune system to deal with, beginning with what everybody knows about, which is that it's so variable and is constantly mutating. So it's always finding variants that might evade an ongoing immune response. And those variants can be selected by the immune system. So that's one thing, is variability. And the second thing is that the target for the immune system, at least the target on the surface of the virus for antibodies, is something that's highly glycosylated, and the glycosylation can also vary to shield the protein elements away from the antibody. And finally, the third element that makes it difficult to deal with is that the number of HIV spikes that are on the surface of the virus are very, very small. So it's a variable, well-hidden, and elusive target.
And what are the spikes? What are HIV spikes?
Spikes are the proteins on the surface of the virus that bind the human cells to enter the human cells.
Your review focuses on the potential of neutralizing antibodies. Can you talk about how those are different from a binding antibody?
Well, I'm not sure that I know the answer to that one, and I'm not sure that anybody really knows. It may be that any antibody that can bind to the envelope spike on a virus, on a viable virus, will have an effect and will block in some way or help eliminate the virus. There are experiments that have been done, they were done a long time ago, introducing peptides into the envelope spike and showing that antibodies to those peptides would neutralize the virus. So it may be that anything that can get in there would work.
Why do you call them neutralizing antibodies specifically?
They're called neutralizing antibodies based on their in vitro activities mainly, and in vivo activities, and ability to prevent the virus from entering cells.
Mm-hmm. What has led researchers to think that these might be useful in fighting HIV?
Okay, there's several things. First thing is that if you transfer them into macaques, and this is something that's been known for quite some time, they prevent infection. So that's a pretty good measure of the fact that something like this will stop HIV from being able to infect. That's one thing. And then the other thing, which is far more recent, is that the antibodies appear to be able to suppress or control infection in mouse models.
Mm-hmm. Some recent developments have actually allowed for more thorough investigation of these antibodies as tools. What's changed?
What's changed is the ability to clone them from human beings. Up until about 4 years ago, it was very difficult to obtain these antibodies, and there were very, very few that had been characterized. There were really only four. And the reason there were really only four is that the techniques available to clone human antibodies were very limited and difficult. So the introduction of methods that made this cloning relatively straightforward basically opened up the field. And now there are dozens and dozens and dozens of these antibodies that have been obtained from human beings that have serologic activity that neutralizes the virus.
What features do these newly isolated antibodies have in common that might help explain their activity?
Well, what they have in common is that they're very, very highly somatically mutated. That is the most common feature that is across the board for just about all of them. That is probably a reflection of the fact that it takes quite a bit of time and a lot of trial and effort by the immune system in order to produce these antibodies. And that is consistent with the finding that individuals that harbor these antibodies usually do so after being infected for quite a long period of time, up to 2 or 3 years.
So what does somatic mutation mean in this context?
Okay, so antibodies are products of B cells. B cells are born in the bone marrow, and they assemble their antibodies from gene segments so that there's a tremendous amount of diversity. Now, when an antigen like HIV comes into the system, the B cell with the right receptor, or one that sees HIV from that large collection of what's there to begin with, is selected, and that clone is expanded in structures called germinal centers. During the expansion phase, the B lymphocytes mutate their antibody genes. They make variants of the starting clone by changing the nucleotide structure of the antibody. Single point mutations are introduced. And during this reaction, the best cell, the cell with the highest affinity, is selected. Normally, you get one round of germinal center reaction, and you make a very high affinity antibody, and that's what you go with. In this case, there is a lot more somatic mutation in the antibodies, almost as if they've had to try and try and try again in order to get to this place where they are broadly neutralizing.
Okay, great. That was very helpful. Now that these antibodies have been isolated and studied for a bit, how might these results be translated into the clinic? Are there mechanisms for getting them into people who need them?
So we don't know what they're going to do in humans yet, and the only way to find out is to try it. And there are mechanisms. So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, together with the Howard Hughes Institute and Rockefeller University, are sponsoring the initiation of clinical trials to put these reagents into people to see whether or not they will be a benefit.
Mm-hmm. What might be a way of getting these antibodies into a person, though?
Right. So there are two ways. The simplest way is to just inject them. The hard way is to make the person make them themselves by a vaccine. Mm-hmm. Making it by a vaccine would be the ultimate goal of this kind of research. It means trying to find the pathway that created the antibodies to begin with, defining that pathway, and then trying to reproduce it.
Really interesting. So you end your review with a series of open questions. What do you see as the important steps to take next?
I think that trying these antibodies in humans is very important to try to get an idea of what their potential is in terms of changing the course of the disease.
Mm-hmm. Michelle Nussenswag, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Michelle Nussenswag and colleagues write about a new tactic for developing HIV vaccines as part of a special section on antibodies in this week's issue. In this section, you can also read reviews on using antibodies to treat cancer and recent advances in the understanding of memory B cells, the cells responsible for creating antibodies.